Good morning and welcome to each one this morning. The title for my message this morning is All In or All Out, which goes well with what Jesse shared this morning. In many places around the world, the line's being drawn in the sand. Are you in or are you out? Are you willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ, or are you willing to deny him? The places in many parts of the world, they are faced with that today. How about us? If that time will come today for us, will we be able to stand and say, you know what? My life is a life of holiness in Christ Jesus, and I will not back down. I will walk in the fullness that God has for me, regardless of what comes. They may take my life. They may do whatever they want to. But I'm ready. And I'm willing to die for the sake of Christ. Where it says so many distractions that we get drawn away because of whatever it may be. As we look at the word, God's word this morning, may we keep that in mind. Are we all in or all out? There is nothing like riding the fence. Either we're in the kingdom of God or we're out of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me but to the Father except through me. There is one way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Let's just pray before we get into the message. Father, we bless your name this morning and we praise you. I pray, Father, that your heart will come forth with clarity, with anointing through the power of your Spirit. May you multiply what I have here. I just commit it before you, Father. May you just guide and direct. Take it from here, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The text of the message is in Ezekiel 8, 16 through 18. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east, and they worshipped the sun towards the east. And he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing for the house of Judah, that they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, they have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch in their nose. Therefore will I deal in my fury. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry with my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. So it's interesting. These 25 men, they were in the inner court of the Lord's house. They were in the Lord's house there in the temple, where they should have been serving the Lord, where they should have been worshiped the only true God. And instead of serving God, they had their backs turned to God and were worshiping the sun, the creation that God has created. And I guess for myself, the question came to myself, am I in church worshiping God, or do I have many other distractions in my life that I'm in the midst of what should be a pure and holy reverence? Is there something else that's hindering that? And I just had to challenge myself when I was reading that. I mean, they were in the inner court, which I understand is that's right there where the people offered the sacrifices to God. So they were at the right place, but for the wrong reason. So may God help us that we would not just come to church because it's the right place, but may we come to worship Him in holiness and purity before Him. Yes, my heart's desire is that we are all, each one of us, are walking in freedom. While we may not be worshiping the sun or the creation, but are we free from adultery? Are we free from porn? Free in every area of life? Free indeed. Like John talks about, those that are in Christ Jesus, the Son shall set you free and you shall be free indeed. May we walk in that freedom. So he said, the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ and His Son and have a heart to worship and adore Him, I trust that's the reason each one of us are here this morning. I want to look at John 3:3-21 in reference to being born again as the first step in the kingdom of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not just maybe or maybe not. He said, he cannot enter. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus says unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our testimony, receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to the heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because the deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, because the deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. You must be born again. You must walk in what God has for us in complete surrender. Just looking at verse 19, 20, and 21. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness better than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds shall be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. That is so true. If you're walking in darkness, the darkness is what you will naturally go to. Just thinking about in my growing up years, the years that I lived in sin. In darkness is when those things happen. When the drunken parties and everything else that went on was done in darkness, and not in the light. And it's so true that if we are in the light, if we are And if we do truth, we come to the light because we have nothing to hide. Our deeds are manifested. Everything is exposed, and we are, that's who we are. So may that be our testimony. First Peter 1:18 to 24 or 25. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation which received by traditions from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, intensely. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of the man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever, by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, without blemish. Also, I was looking at Revelation talks about that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but will confess him before his name, will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Hallelujah. What a promise. He that overcometh shall walk in white, shall be clothed in with the white, and Christ will confess your name, his name, before my Father and before his angels. In Revelation 21:7-8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But it does not have to be that way. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. We see that word all multiple times, and it's just, we will inherit everything. I mean, all. It's a word that's just undescribable because it entails everything. Everything is included with that. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Then Revelation 21:27 gives a warning. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be a part of that. Otherwise, we cannot enter in. So, looking at that, it's very important that we are born again, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, there is no hope. It's that simple. So, also, I thought of the aspect of baptism. Didn't think I'd spend much time there since we talked about baptism the last couple of weekends. But I did want to mention, while it's great to have a testimony of being delivered out of vile sins, the greatest testimony still is a person that has never been involved in those things and have walked a life of holiness. that still the greatest testimony that's out there, while not taken away from a testimony of God setting the person free from porn or whatever else it may be, it's a great testimony. But still, the greatest testimony still is a life living without being involved in those things. So may that be an encouragement to especially the younger children. You don't have to have a testimony of being set free from sin. But a life surrendered to God is the greatest testimony that you can have. So may you do what it takes to walk in that. Also had to think about, and even baptism. We encourage the believer's baptism and are okay with rebaptizing. But I would still encourage, we still encourage to make sure the first time that you are born again and that you're receiving the believer's baptism, I mean, that's still the best that you can have. I mean, I guess I want to be careful how I word that, because it's the best baptism is still a believer's baptism. So if you have not been born again when you were baptized the first time, by all means, seek the believer's baptism. But I guess I look at our children as you're growing up. Make sure that it's clear, and then seek baptism. So I also want to look at holiness. There's a lot of commands to be holy as God is holy. That's a high calling. We are to be holy as God is holy. Wow. Oswald Chambers puts it this way. 1 Peter 1:13-25 calls the people of faith to live a life of holiness. Literally, holy living means that a Christian lives a life that's set apart, reserved to give glory to God. It is a life of discipline, focus, and attention to matters of religious living. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless, holy, and blameless life in the form of man's flesh. This is the example of holiness we are to follow. We are to be holy, even as He is holy. We are to live the same life of holiness and righteousness because Christ also suffered for us. We are to be holy as Jesus was holy upon this earth. It's a high calling. But it's very important to God. Exodus 28:36-38. And I shall make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And I shall put it in the blue lace, and I shall put it upon the midriff, upon the forefront of the midriff it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and they built the tabernacle, and then the clothes for Aaron's garments, the sign of a reminder of holiness was to be put upon Aaron's forehead, holiness unto the Lord. So we see that it's holiness is very important to God. First Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So saying here, the temple of God is holy, so we should be, and we are the temple of God, so we should be a holy us. Each one of us should be holy because the temple of God is within us. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen in us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world and has called us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Again, a high calling in Christ. Hebrews 12:13-15. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that ye be lame by be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man feel the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Found it interesting that we are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's not just saying without which John or Mel shall see the Lord, but it says no man shall see the Lord without holiness and walking in peace with all men. So again, a life of holiness means a life that is set apart, reserved to give God glory, and a life of discipline, focus, and attention to manners of righteous living. Then I also want to look at love. Matthew 5:43-46. Which in reality it's in the four Gospels. As far as the command to love the Lord your God with all the heart, soul, and mind. But that's in 22. But let's do Matthew 5:43 first. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye have love for them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not the publicans the same? So it's easy to love others if they love you. But how about loving the ones that despise you, that are your enemies? But Christ instructs us that we need to do that. In the four Gospels, Jesus commands us to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Doesn't give much room to not love others. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. So he's saying that the world will know that we are Christ's disciples if we have love one for another. So how much otherwise, if we don't have love for one another, will it turn the world away from Christ? So may we have that love one for another, like it talks about here. Galatians 5:16 and also 22-26. This I said, and walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he goes on to say what the lust of the flesh is, but I want to jump down to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Then, of course, we have 1 Corinthians 13, where most of our mind go to when we talk about love. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, though I have all faith that I may remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there shall be knowledge, they shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For then which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I stood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Do we get that? Do we understand that the greatest of everything of these is love? So maybe walk in that. Another aspect I want to look at is members. Well, there's many aspects we can look at as far as the Christian life. These five is what came to mind as I was preparing. But let's just look at Romans 6:13 and then also 6:19. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Then verse 19. Speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh. For we have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So we are to yield our members, our bodies, as instruments of righteousness unto holiness. In Romans 12:4-5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we look at the many members that we have in our physical body, but they're all members of one another. But they don't all have the same calling or the purpose. I mean, you don't expect the eye to do what the ear does, or vice versa, or the hands to do what the feet does. Even though some people like walking on their hands, but that's up to them. But anyhow, we all have a purpose. Each member of our body is created for a purpose. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, as so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were an hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. I'll read down to verse 27. Verse 22, nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which would think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts we have more abundant comeliness. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Therefore put away all lying, speak every... I'm sorry, that was Ephesians. So he's saying, I mean, we get that in our physical body. If one member of the suffer, the whole body suffers with it. Because, I mean, it's amazing how little member would basically take you out. As far as the physical body. So, likewise, as we are one of another. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Then Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of Christ's body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. Because last weekend, Dave Hostetler gave an illustration of like the hand. It's a very useful part of the body. But if we would just go and cut it off and throw it out in the aisle and say, well, I mean, that's a very useful part of the body. But when it's detached from the body, it no longer is useful to the body. Because, I mean, it can't do anything. It has to be connected to the body in order to be able to do anything. So may we, like just like we read here, believe it's scripture to have membership and encourage it, and our heart's desire is for those attending for a while would be members, because it members of his body, of his church. I did want to close with, also was looking at, thinking about love. You read through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and those chapters, those books of the Bible are just full of love. Love for one another, love for for God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And just on and on and on. So may that be a touchstone as far as for us. May the love of God be within our hearts. I did want to close with Lamentations 3:22-26. It is the Lord's mercy that we will not consume, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good for a man to burst hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good to them that wait on Him. So do we wait on Him? In the busyness of life, especially in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, but not just here, nor for ourselves, we have to be conscious of waiting on the Lord and make it very important, because it does say here, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good for a man both to hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So again, may we be all in and not lukewarm or out. Because the Revelation talks about those that are lukewarm, God will spew out of His mouth. But may we walk in the anointing. May we walk in the fullness that God has for us. And be all in for Him. Because it is the only way. It is the only way to salvation. It's the only pathway that God has laid out for us. But praise God, He has made that way available for each one of us to walk in victory, to find freedom in Him. So may God bless you.